everybody. I'm Thomas. I'm an alcoholic. Hello. Man, there's a lot of you. And I'm just realizing I got to pee. So, hence the word warm-up speaker. Thanks, Bruce, for asking me to stand up here. I love a lot of people in this room, and Sue Ellen, maybe the most. I ran into her right when I got here, and she's like, man, there's a lot of people here tonight. Yeah, there is a lot of people. She's like, you get nervous doing that, like talking this many people? I'm like, no, I've been doing this a long time. She's like, then why are you in the women's restroom? See, I just got to be funny, that's it. If you're laughing, you're identifying. So thanks, Clayton, for reading that chapter 3. I arrived here, I used to say when I came to AA, that would be my sentence over and over again. I've had so many good sponsors. I have one sponsor. My current sponsor is Tom B. And he knows he is my sponsor. You know what I mean? I think I've got 12 sponsees. There's only two of them I ever talked to. Yeah, Thomas C. sponsors me. But when I arrived here at 23 years old, when I came to AA, you know, it's different. I'd been kicked out of treatment, and my periods of sobriety had shortened. In high school, 20 minutes after my first drink, well, actually in grammar school, let's keep this honest, I had my first drink and my first kiss in 20 minutes. Alcohol was, I think Dr. Bob said, a magic elixir. I think the word magic's really, really important. If your first drink was an event, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Spiritual awakening, one might say. In fact, I've heard people take the promises and say, when I took a drink, I had a new freedom, a new happiness. I didn't regret the past. Witches shut the door on it. Kind of matches, and I found that magic early on. But my periods of sobriety had started to shrink, and my circles had started to shrink, because if you didn't drink like me, you didn't hang out with me. And my periods of sobriety followed by an ever worse relapse. At 23 years old, I would disappear for a week. Start drinking like at Cedar and Fresno State. What is that, Cedar and Bullard? Just think to myself, let's go get a drink. Wake up a week later, Gables Inn on Golden State. Oh, some Gables Inn people. Pay by the hour. That's the way I like it. You know, and who are you? And whose credit cards are these? And how many days has it been? And make that call, and I'd make that call to my wife, which I now call the plaintiff. I'm going to do this all night, Sue Ellen. I made the call, and I got home, and everything's out front like it's supposed to be. We had a six-month-old boy, and now, I could do alligator tears, but I'm a crier. Any other criers in the room? I'm a big crier at the bottom, yeah. I could fake it, but I tell you, I had gotten to the place of surrender. And I hope I can get it across today that if you're new, welcome here. And I did not know I was surrendered. I didn't know I had willingness. I had to learn these things, and thank God for you people. My wife Shirley said, you have to go to treatment. So we did. And I got kicked out inside of a week. And there's a couple parts in our book that my first sponsor was very slow with me. We read the book very slow. We met every day after noon meetings. And the first thing I identified in the big book was there's a part where Bill and Bill's story said they didn't need to tell me I welcomed the idea. And it's a story about Dr. Silkworth, Lois, Bill's wife, and Bill talking about, and they're talking about, what are we going to do about Bill? And they're not including Bill in the conversation. Anybody have one of those kind of conversations? That's what was happening to me, and I promised her I wouldn't mention the names, but there's two members here that owned a treatment program called Advanced Recovery Services. And one of them has passed already. Another one's a staunch member of the No Matter What Club. But that day, it was Thomas crying. I couldn't barely sign my name, and they're talking about, what are we going to do about Thomas? And I signed my name to it, you know, as best I could. I don't eat a lot when I'm drinking. And I told him I would cut off my left arm for a chance to be a father again. My son was 6 months old. In a week, you know, I'm in that little circle they put you in, little vision for you, the little papers with what we call them emojis. Now, at that time, it was like, are you anxious? Are you angry? You know, and I cut my arm off for a chance to be a father again. I'm crying myself to pieces 1 week, and in a week, I'm thinking, this is bullshit. And I got kicked out of treatment, and I tried to choke the director, and I screamed at him, you can't kick me out of here. I paid $5,000 to be in here. And what about her, my wife? He said, oh, she could stay in the significant other group. And he said, go to 3 meetings a day, A-A-N-A-C-A-N-E-A, and we may consider bringing you back. And that's how I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, like I wanted to say. I didn't come. It's a big difference being driving somewhere and being driven somewhere. It's not coming to AA if your mom dropped you off. You were brought. I was brought. I didn't come to AA when I came to AA. 10 years I was saying that before I realized you. Oh boy, a big difference. And half my time's up, I haven't even got to the program yet. Well, I paid $5,000 to be in here. My grandmother paid $5,000 for me to be in there. And she was distraught and at the end of her rope. So I started going to meetings. I was, you know, in Bill's story too, he said near the end of that bleak November, I sat drinking alone in my kitchen. Now I'm sure it was a bleak November in the winter of 1934 in New York. I'll tell you what, it was an effing hot summer in Fresno in the summer of 95 for me. And it wasn't just hot outside. I was sleeping on a cot in my in-law's home because Thomas was unpredictable. Because Thomas disappeared. Because your checking account somehow come up empty. So I'm rollerblading to meetings. You know, I like to come in right around the preamble, after the preamble, just make a big, you know, hey, what's up? How you doing? Hey, what happened? Did I miss anything? How you doing? Just disturbing the meeting. You know how we are. Come in after the preamble. In fact, I was late to the 8 a.m. North Park Men's this morning, so I don't know much I've learned. But I was having a really difficult time. I didn't like AA. That's what I really wanted to talk about. You thought you were going to get a good sponsorship talk, Bridgeport. You're going to get. I did not like AA. I didn't like it. Like, I was telling everybody that would listen, CPS is getting involved in my life, and my father-in-law, you are not going to take my kid. There was no CPS involved in my life. I was convinced there was. It was years later making amends to my wife and my father-in-law. There was no CPS involved. That was all in my head. I was scared to death and didn't know it, and I was completely surrendered and didn't know it. So I'm coming to meetings, and I was going to Northeast Fellowship, Clovis and 3rd. I hope there's some, is there any Northeast people in here? All right, hey, brother. They sure talk about us, don't they? Snake Pit, they called it. Yeah, the Snake Pit. I loved it. But then again, I hated it, so it was upstairs. Have you ever tried to go upstairs in rollerblades? You know, sideways? You know, just to be late, and, you know, I'm rolling into the meeting and everything, and I couldn't stand it. It seemed like I've got real problems in my life, and you guys are telling stories about sheep and shepherds, and you're obviously uneducated. Now, I had gotten kicked. Thank you. I'd been kicked out of Fresno High School because of alcohol and drugs at, you know, 17 years old. Had those periods of sobriety, built up a really strong business. I'm a father who's about ready to lose his son. I think CPS is involved. I lost this business and stole all this money from my business partner, and you're uneducated. What do you do with a kid like that? What do you do with them? You love them. You guys know that. You say really stupid things like, why don't you let us love you? What does that look like? I've been here a long time, and I still have to let you love me sometimes. But the guy I hated the worst was a guy named Bill Noble. He sat in the back corner. Nobody sat next to Bill. The funny part is I had several other friends. Why did I sit next to Bill? The guy I hated the most. He was the most big book guy you ever seen. He was gruff. He talked over time. Nobody liked Bill. So I come in late. I'm going to the meeting. I'm sitting there. You know, I'm trying to not make too much of a noise. Well, I am making a noise because I'm here, guys. I'm here. And the thing that bothered me the most about you guys is everybody's always trying to teach you a lesson. You know what I mean? And I sit next to Bill, and the meeting's going on. He leans over, and he goes, you missed it. I'm thinking, man, screw Bill Noble. What are you, like Yoda? What do you mean, you missed it? So, man, what do I care? Meeting goes on. If you're a good alcoholic like me, I was like, hey, Bill, what did I miss? What did I miss? He leans over and says, what you were supposed to hear. I'm like, man, I'm a fucking motherfucker. Screw Bill Noble. What do I care about Bill Noble? Again, it was upstairs, and we circled up for the Lord's Prayer. And I looked out, if you remember the old group, and there was windows here, and there was a dirt lot, which is now Guitar Center and stuff is there, but there's a dirt lot, and there's Bill, and I'm looking for him, and I'm seeing him through the window. He's trotting out to his, which is another reason I didn't like him. He has this white van, one with the bubble window. You know, some kind of Buffalo Bill, Silence of the Lambs van. And here's the thing. I don't remember running outside, but I did. This is why I wanted to share tonight. I was surrendered and didn't know it. And I had willingness, and I didn't know it. How do you know you have willingness? If they're saying that honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness are essential, how do you know you have it? And my first sponsor, Don, told me, it's your feet. Watch your feet. This is how I know I had it. I somehow ran out there. I don't remember him running out there to the dirt. You know, because he was going to work. There's another reason I didn't like him. Him and his blue coveralls. He was a mechanic. But I ended up just in front of him. Bill. What was I supposed to hear? And he said, how the fuck am I supposed to know what you were supposed to hear? And I'm just like, now, you know he had big bucks in that van, right? A bunch of coveralls, too, I'm sure. Rich A., who started North Park Fellowship, was his boss, owned a mechanic shop. Bill was a mechanic. And this man who was so gruff, who talked over time, who nobody liked, was eventually going to say words that would help save my life. He spent 3 hours with a 23-year-old alcoholic, outside issue kid who was terrified. And we read the book together. He started asking me, saying things to me, like, I've been paying attention to you, and I see you come in late, you leave early, they call on certain people, and you're looking up in the sky, like, oh, there they go again. You're watching the clock. That's an indicator. I've been around here a long time. You know what I do? I watch people, and I watch the people that watch the clock. It's little things you learn around here. He said, do you believe in a higher power? And I'm like, yeah, I like Star Wars. I mean, I'm going to die a smart ass. I mean, my life's on the line. And I'm, you know, think about it, you know. And we went into chapter 4, and he talked about we needed to find a power greater than ourselves. He said, do you believe in prayer? He goes, how about this? You think you could pray and come to the meeting and listen, and get a message just for you? I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. He's like, is it possible? And I said, yeah, it's possible. And he goes, there you go. He sold me step 2 with your book on possibility. Is it possible? Is it going to happen? Not what's going to happen. Is it possible? I'm like, yeah. He said, you like Hometown Buffet? And I was like, yeah, I love Hometown Buffet. Me and my grandma love Hometown Buffet. But can you imagine going to Hometown Buffet and not knowing what a buffet was and sitting down and just looking around resentful because everybody seems to be eating and where's my food? He said, you know, listening is a lot like eating. Nobody can eat for you. Nobody can listen for you. And he explained to me the difference between listening and hearing. Two active things. And, you know, I started coming to meetings on time. I started listening and started hearing things. In fact, I really started identifying, when I started to find myself laughing, like this lady was talking about, oh, there was suicide and a robbery, and everybody's like, ha, 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 and I'm like, ha, ha, oh, shit. If you're laughing at my stuff, you know, welcome to AA. Now, Bill was not my sponsor. Bill was my friend. He told me, I'm not making fun of you. How am I supposed to know what you were supposed to hear? Only you can hear for you. And son, you ain't listening. And if you do that long enough, you won't hear. And if you don't hear something here, you're not going to have that kid back. And he said it to me in such a way that I believed him. Thank you, Bill Noble. He's my friend. He passed away about 6 years ago. Now I'm going to tidy it up. Now I had this brain that was just rapid fire. Anybody else have a rapid fire? Grand Central head? I have one of those. Yeah. I started coming to meetings on time at Northeast. I was going to noon meetings, 6:30, 8:30, 10:30, candlelight. It was so much easier than going at home. You know, I just knew my father-in-law was going to talk her into leaving. And underneath that, I knew he was probably right. So I'm sitting in the meeting, you know, just doing the best I can in the noon meetings, and my head's running, like, what's going to happen when they find out about all the money that you stole? What's going to happen when they find out about the blank sheets of paper that you put in all those ATMs? They haven't figured it out yet. What's going to happen when she finds out about the other women? What's going to happen when he talks her into leaving? What's going to happen if? What's going to happen when? What's going to happen if? What's going to happen when? What's going to happen if? What's going to happen when? Newcomers, does this sound familiar? No way you can stay sober like that. So I'm sitting in the meeting listening, though. I'm listening now because of Bill Noble. He was my friend, and he helped me. And finally, Van E., who passed away some years ago, some reason I started identifying with women. I mean, Van E. never did any crime. She didn't even try to rob the Happy Market on Maple like me. She drank in the closet. She was ashamed to drink in the closet when her husband was at work. I identified with her shame. I'm listening, and I'm hearing things. I didn't know a lot about AA at the time, but I knew you didn't talk when other people were talking, and Van's in there sharing like normal. They never call on me, you know, they never call on me, which is my first resentment. And I'm sitting there, and she's sharing, and I stand up and said, I need a sponsor. And Don McGugan, God rest his soul, was there that day, and he said, I'll sponsor you. Go ahead and sit down. And that's what I'm going to do, because you have a beautiful woman here with a powerful message. And that's what I wanted to share. I mean, I was sponsored into belief to learn the most important thing here is being able to listen. And with a head like mine, that old man helped me save my own life. And he told me things like, bring the body, the mind will follow. Bring the body, the mind will follow. And I'm super, super grateful. Thank you, Bruce. Have a good night.
Let's get this over. Okay. Hi, my name's Sue Ellen, and I'm an alcoholic. And I got my tables with my ladies who will look at me with love no matter what the hell I say. And you may judge me for being up here, but you cannot judge my hair. I am having a good hair night. So anyway, I want to thank everyone in that back kitchen. Some of you are saying, wasn't that the lady who just served me? Yes. This is my favorite venue. I love serving here. I love saying hi to each and every one of you. I love seeing your faces. I love when you ask me to put more on there. I love when you judge me for putting too much on there. And anyway, I love the energy in this room and what we're all about. And so I have a sponsor. Everyone, a lot of you know my sponsor, and I have sponsees here that I love with all my heart, and I'm looking at them dearly, and they mean the world to me. And that's part of this program that just touches my soul. And everyone knows I have Carol, okay? Now, Carol came up here one year to speak at this meeting, and a bunch of us were sitting right there, and I hadn't seen Carol at a big venue before. And I said, she won't say the F word, you know? Not in front of a big group of people. So we got a bet going on that table. And I bet zero, stupid me. And everyone was betting these numbers. And I mean, she wasn't up here 2 minutes and said, fuck. I mean, it wasn't like, I lost right away. And then we had good looking David on at the table. And we were saying how we were betting. She goes, well, would you bet, David? He said, 8. And she says, well, what am I up to, 7? She goes, fuck. And he won. So there you go. I am not going to say the word. No, I'm done. Don't have any bets going. Don't have any bets going, please. Okay. The other thing I want to share, how many of you were here for the 50th birthday of Fred and Carol? Wasn't that a killer-ass event? How many here, that was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And how many stayed for the karaoke? Okay, so I'm going to shame myself right now. All right. When Heather ever comes up to you and says, come do this, this will be fun, get more detail, okay? Because you need to figure out what that fun is going to be. So we're going to do a lap dance for Fred. Okay, I'm the oldest bitch there, you know? I'm up there going, huh? And then they turn that song on, you know, you gotta touch yourself and all this stuff. And I'm like, I said, oh, I'll go with it. So I start wiggling in front of Fred and I saw him all happy. I was saying this. And then after it's all over, Julie comes up to me and says, you know, I thought you were a badass in AA before, but I really think you're really a badass now for dancing in front of Fred. And I said, if that's what it took to be a badass in LA, girls, badass in AA, just look at Fred, shake, you know? So anyway, yeah. And I love you. All right, so let's talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. My sobriety date, first of all, how many are celebrating a birthday tonight and came here to see me instead of celebrating their birthdays at their groups? April birthdays? Ah, come on. Yay, congratulations. Woo! Where are my Visalia people? Woo! I got sober in Visalia. I got sober in Visalia. Now, I'll explain the dates. Now, I got to watch the time because Carol's going to start sinking here pretty soon. and she'll start nodding over to let me know I'm going too long. And anyway, or she'll say it out loud and I hear it. she has those big sighs. But anyway, I got sober the night of Easter Sunday, April 15th, 1990, was my day with God. And I'll let you know, I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't like him or dislike him. I was raised atheist. I kind of went on a spree. You know, I was born in Lindsay, raised in Palm Springs. From the generation of lots of dope and hippies and hitchhiked cross country, and I did all that and had a baby at 16 and did all that and da 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 da. But I wasn't mad at God. And he's kind of benign to me, you know. I'd call out on him here and there for this and that. But at that end of my life and my journey in alcoholism, and I had 3 kids by then. That Easter Sunday was that night where I got on my knees and I said, God, if you could raise Jesus from the dead, I need you to raise me because I am dead, you know? And so that was the time, that was my surrender with alcoholics. And then that morning, that Monday morning, I called the AA 100, the 800 line, and said, I need help. Now, this morning I went to a meeting at the 9 a.m. women's meeting at Fresno Fellowship, and that was an amazing meeting this morning. And someone came up to me and said, you know, I've never heard you speak. I've never heard your story. And I said, you heard it today, because everyone's story this morning was my story. A woman talked about that she would sit there and come out those double doors of her bedroom, and I had the same kind of double doors, and my kids never knew what they were going to get when I walked out that door. They didn't know what kind of mother I was going to be that morning, and I did, and I raised those kids by myself. You know, I love you boys, but you irritate me, and so I get ready really quick. But so I raised these kids on my own, and so... they were watching this shit show of my life with the drinking, the drugs, and the alcohol, and it was pretty, pretty bad. So I just want to let you know that when I first walked into these rooms, and I can tell you, for those who are fairly new, and what this is all about in these rooms. Because I remember when I first went to my first little speaker meeting, there was a guy up here in Visalia at that church. And he was up here, and I couldn't figure out, what the hell is he talking about? You know, what is he saying up there? And then he started crying. Then I thought, oh, hell no, I am not. No. You know, and so I remember walking in those rooms and just not knowing what this was all about. You all were just looking around each other, and I could not figure it out. Because I was one of those people, when I did call that 1-800 number, I am arguing with that Dottie. Visalia had a Dottie. I know you guys had a Dottie, but we had a Dottie. And I always say that our Dottie was nicer than your Dottie. But but that Dottie, I tried to talk her into not, you know, to tell me I didn't need to come here. This morning I heard a bunch of women talk about, you know, that they went into recovery homes and doing stuff, and they shared experience, strength, and hope. They shared about what this whole thing's about sponsorship, about giving, and what this is truly, truly about, everybody, is this is the most amazing room of energy, of love, kindness, and just being there for each other. I came in these rooms, and I did not do what you said to do because I didn't know. I really didn't. I was a minimalist. I was an AA minimalist. I just kept the toe in the water to keep from not getting involved. Oh, by the way, this was hilarious. I got my phone. I got this thing on. And the, right before I was coming up here, it starts to alert me. Your heart rate is really high. I said, no shit. I'm about to speak. Okay. So anyway, and as you know, I'll go off in different directions. So anyway, on that Easter Sunday, and I got to watch this, I came in these rooms, and I could go into a drunk a lot. I really can. And because the thing that really got me when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous was when you told your story. It wasn't the book. It really wasn't, you know. It was when I heard the first story of another woman who did not like their children like I didn't like my children and felt like they're always eating. And needing me to feed them because I was the only one to provide her. And so they, you know, and I heard my first, and her name was Carol, and her tell her story, and she had joy in her face and joy in her eyes. And I went, okay, I might do this. And, you know, I always tease that when I came into the first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, the first night, so that Monday, that Easter Sunday, that Monday I called, I went to a Tuesday night at the church in Visalia, walked in, there's a bunch of tables, boom, 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 everybody divided up. I quickly realized that if you say you're alcoholic, nobody comes talk to you. They think you're okay. And I walked in with a business suit, okay? I walked in, I'm in like imposter syndrome, like I pretending like I got this thing. I'm you know, I'm sober 3 days, don't you know? I'm doing really well. You know, because I would collect days and think, this is going well, okay? And then, you know, and then I just heard blah, 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 blah. And then you guys stood up, and then you grabbed hands. And I said, oh, shit, what is this now? And then you started the Lord's Prayer, and I rolled my eyes and said, holy crap. If you had a hymn, I would not be up here right now, but we did not have a hymn, so I kept coming back. So anyway, so I am here to tell you about being a minimalist in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And what that means to me is that you just do enough to stay sober, and I did do that. So after 6 months, I'm really thinking, I am learning to parrot everything you say, starting to sound pretty good. Actually, I have people nodding when I talk. You know, and I'm thinking I'm doing pretty well. And then I go outside in a parking lot and I'm bitching at this lady of that, why isn't it getting better? Why aren't the kids getting better? Why isn't nothing? And she says, you know what? If it takes 20 miles to march in the woods, it's going to take 20 miles to march out. you've been doing this for a long time, and you're not going to get this without doing the work. And even then, I didn't hear what I needed to hear, because she said to do the work. So I'm the type of person, because in my business, I'm in computers. I'm a computer programmer. I'm a nerd. I'm pretty smart. I know how to do this stuff. I didn't know I was smart. I accidentally found out because I took a class in programming and went, shit, that's easy. I'll take another one. Oh, that one's easy too. I didn't know I had a kind of mind that did that kind of stuff. So I didn't know I was smart. I always thought I was stupid. Anyway, and I really did. But I couldn't hear, I just couldn't put my head around a lot of stuff. You know, I couldn't put what I'm supposed to do. So, you know, I finally showed up to one meeting a week for a year. One meeting a week. And on my AA birthday, nobody celebrated that shit. They're like looking at me going, we have no idea how you made it, but, you know, keep coming back. Start going to more meetings. So anyway, back to the minimalist thing. So then I go to this, and I'm the type of person that, you know, I'm kind of ego-driven in my what I do for a living, blah, blah, blah. And I don't like to let you know I don't know. I'm too ego to not let you know. And you guys kept saying the word program. And I went, I could never admit to you I didn't know what a program was. You guys talked about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm here to tell everyone who is not willing to say, I don't know what the program is. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous is this. This fellowship's amazing. We love this part of it. But it resides in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It resides in the steps. I was one of those who didn't do my steps right away. That's what I mean. I was a minimalist. I just did enough. And I didn't get a sponsor till later on. And I finally got that sponsor, and it wasn't Carol. My first sponsor was really nice, okay? Okay. I'm going to get this wrapped up here. My sponsor, Shirlene. Visalia people remember Frank and Shirlene. Shirlene helped me through the four step. I'm going to tell you, please, do not wait on that shit. I am telling you, that is the most freeing I'd ever been, that I tortured myself all my life with a couple items. And when I did that four step, I was free. And then I took a sabbatical on the rest of the steps for a while. And now I'm telling you that I've been actively involved in all the steps. And I'm here to tell you, quit treating steps 10 and 11 like Easter Sunday once a year, that those steps were designed to do daily. And if you do them daily, you will see a transformation happen in your life and have an abundance of your life that you never even dreamed about, that's way beyond just anything you can imagine. Because you may think, okay, this program, if you listen to all the greats of all, you know, the Buddha, the Jesus, and everybody, and all the religions, Alcoholics Anonymous is not telling us to do anything different. It is being very clear to us that a spiritual life and to love one another and to be kind and clean up that act at home is what we're supposed to do. And you guys taught me that. I had to, and you taught me, because I was grateful that I did get, and I continue with sponsors, and when I moved to Fresno, I got Miss Carol, that when I sat with Carol, and I thought she was lucky to have me, you know, don't you know? You know, the worst thing to have is someone with time who doesn't do these steps. We're horrible. And when you have a head full of knowledge, and you know this thing, that is the most dangerous thing in this room sometimes. And she and I'm sitting there, and I finally got an audience to continue to bitch about my mom. And this woman says, she looks at me with all her little Carolness, and says, she didn't know you a damn thing. But what you owe her is love, respect, and kindness. And you better get busy, girl, doing that. Because you have way too much time to not be doing this thing right. And so I got on a plane and I flew back, and I loved my mom. I wasn't looking to do anything for her, for her to do anything for me. I just came to be of service. And look, my mom was an alcoholic, and she did, I mean, I got story, we could go for another 40 minutes on just mom shit, okay? But I am telling you right now, my mom, out of nowhere, when I was being nice, I bought her cheap crap cologne. Ugh, I can't smell Candid. Ooh, yeah. Avon, does girls remember Avon? Yeah. So anyway, out of nowhere, she told me, she says, honey, I'm so sorry for everything I've done to you in your whole entire life. And I wasn't looking for it. She goes, but I don't want to talk about it. And then we moved on, you know? But here's where you guys did, where you taught me the most. And I got willing to learn is that how to treat my children and how to fix all of that. Because I had some really broken stuff going on at home. I mean, broken, 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 broken. And again, because of sponsorship, because of old timers, the guys up in Homer, Herman, Vic, all those guys, Brother Sean, you know, they had the courage to tell me that I needed to do the work. Just like Tom, thank you, Thomas, for all your share, but to listen, to be willing to be a part of something, to do this work. And I did do the work. And those kids, you know, we all healed and we all got better. And then they procreated like hell. And I have 6 grandchildren that have never seen their grandmother drink, ever, okay? Now, let me tell you about that story with the grandkids. And then I'm gonna wrap, because I know you guys are tired. So I qualified. Oh, that's the other thing we do. We say what it was like. I think I did that. We say what got us here. Hateful children staring at me. I just want to let you know that when I came out of my room on Easter Sunday, my daughter looked at me with such hate. And my daughter was old then. She was older. And my youngest son hated me so much. It was one of those situations where I walked in the house and it was, fuck you. No, fuck you. No, fuck you. You know, I mean, this is parenting, you know, on my side. And I'm thinking, and I'm telling the therapist, and I'm telling everybody, I'm going from meeting to meeting bitching about this kid, and you guys told me it's the way you behave. Not him. You guys have taught me it's not the way you are, it's how I do this thing, you know? And then you taught me things like the St. Francis of Assisi prayer and where my true north needs to be, to love more than to be loved, to kind. But another thing that you taught me was go ahead and preach the gospel, as the term is, but sometimes you might need to talk. So you proved to me that it's how you live, not what you say, that makes a difference in the world. And those kids got to watch that mom's behavior was different, and it healed our family. So now, and those boys, I've got to watch, and some of you all know these stories, that my children, believe it or not, and I have a new little story to tell her. The one son, I have 31, and Eli is 21 years sober, and Caleb is 11 years sober, and just recently my daughter admitted she had a problem, and she has quit drinking. And she has a couple years. So it's a family disease. But let me tell you what happened on the grandkids. So my son, being the good alcoholic he is, marries an alcoholic, okay, and has children. And then he has the granddaughter that I had, and these wonderful grandkids. So this last, I know my birthday is August 26th. That's another story. Blah, 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 I smoked a little pot, da-da-da-da, I got honest with you guys, you know, reclaimed, only lost 8 months, but get pissed off in that 8 months. But anyway, August 26th is my day. I had asked God, I said, I don't even remember what the day was, God. What the hell? I'm not exaggerating. A week later, after I bitched to God that I don't know what that day was, my neighbor comes in. You remember that trip when we went up to Humboldt and we smoked that pot? Here's a picture, and it had the date on it, August 26th. Okay. You don't mess with God. At that point in time, you guys, you just do not mess with God. You go to a meeting, and you reclaim your time, and I have that picture in my house on the wall, and I'm pretty chubby, and I'm like this up against a bear stoned. I mean, it's hilarious. But I have to keep that there because I always want to remember that, you know, you never can forget. And one of the things I think so magical about talking about the way it was, you never want to forget where you came from. You never want to forget the insidious part of this disease that is willing for you to go out. I don't know what you need to hear tonight, and I know some of you can be judging me and all that stuff, but one thing I did learn is I have asked God, what do I need to hear tonight? What do I need to hear tonight to help me, for wherever you are, to either not drink, to be kind to your kids, to be nice to your spouse? I mean, what is it? Because God will show up for you every single time. So I'm going to wrap up with what happened this last Easter Sunday. That daughter of mine that hated my guts, that wonderful woman, all these years, poor thing, I owe her money because she's had to go to a shitload of therapy because of me, okay? So anyway, so this last Easter Sunday was at my daughter. She lives in Salinas. I have the cute little granddaughter. And my son, married an alcoholic, they're split up now. She's in her disease, doing her thing, yada, yada, yada. Well, Lexi, the granddaughter, hates the mother. And I'm just looking at her, hating her like the way Megan hated me. And I feel really bad, and I'm praying. And I'm asking God to guide me in what I need to say to help her through this, all throughout this time. And I mean, Lexi doesn't want nothing to do with this. She is pissed at her mama. So all you moms out there knowing when you had kids looking at you, you know what it's all about when they don't like us for our drinking. So anyway, on Easter Sunday, and it's my day with God. I celebrate with you my August 26th, but Easter Sunday is when I got on my knees to God and I said, please help me. And he did. By golly, he did, and he has been showing up ever since. So anyway, and he's funny, too. He's got a great sense of humor. Do not pray for patience, just a heads up, okay? So then my granddaughter, I walk out of the bedroom from sleeping, and my daughter is at a table painting, and she looks up and looks at me with such love, and just think, 31 years ago when she looked at me on Easter Sunday, she looked at me with such hate. And she said, good morning, Mom, and congratulations for your 32 years. And she made a painting, and on the other side of that painting, she wrote that, and she said, thanks for showing me, you know, all your love and how you've done this. And I mean, that was a wonderful story, but it doesn't stop, because God never stops showing up for us if we let him. So then I'm driving home with the granddaughter. And I tell my granddaughter the story. And I said, look, Lex, I just got to let you know, it's not what I signed up to be a shitty mom. I loved my kids. I wasn't trying to be bad. I just didn't. But when I pick up a drink or a drug, it, you know, I take it, it takes me. And once you take it, Lex, you know, I didn't want to not be there for Easter. I didn't want to not be there for all those times for my children. But I wasn't. Your dad, he got the shitty end of the stick, you know? And I said, I'm really sorry about that. You know, and so we were driving and we were listening to some, you know, some stuff on the radio. And then all of a sudden she goes, you know what? She calls me Gima. She goes, you know what, Gima? I just texted my mom and told her I love her. And she says, thank you for telling me that story. And she went and saw her mom for the first time last week in a long time. Now, is Gina sober? I don't know. But I helped her find what she needs, what we need, and that's love. Love and lack of judgment, love and acceptance. You know, there's three words that an alcoholic, that was our kryptonite at one time. It's our kryptonite now, but it was once. You know, the words probably. I love the word probably. My kids could guarantee I wasn't going to show up if I said I'll probably be there, okay? I wish. Oh, that's a showstopper. You can't do shit with I wish. You know, you just know you're not going to do a thing, you know? And I would say, you know, I wish I was 30 pounds lighter, you know? We all know that wasn't going to happen. So anyway, and so you do the I wish, the probablys. And here's my favorite. And the ladies I sponsor, they know this one. I don't know. How about you say words like, I want to know, and I'm going to start looking for that, okay? Change your words. I want to know. Instead of saying I wish, say I will. And instead of saying probably, say I'll show up. And those were the things that you guys taught me in here. I started something at September 9th this last year where I write God. It's not a 10 step. I write God every night, and I haven't missed it once. I write him as if he's my best friend, and I bitch him out too, because sometimes I don't understand what the hell he's pulling on me. What am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to do with this? And I got to tell you, that has been so healing for me to just write to him, talk to him, get to know him. Because look, if you go down to a thing of water and you come down with a thimble, you're going to leave with a thimble full of water. But if you go with a bucket and you're willing to, you know, I am everything that I used to make fun of up here. I am everything. I never thought I would have an abundant life. And now I am swimming in it. I'm splashing you. I'm irritating you. I know that the Heathers know that if they're calling me, she's going to bring up God again. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, this is our thing. And if you read page 86 to 88, that's our gig, you guys. It says on a daily, ask God, ask God, ask God, ask God. And you know what's so cool? I am here to tell you, he shows up, shows up, shows up, shows up. Does he show up exactly the way I want him to? No, he usually comes in the form of you, you know? And I am so grateful because I hear my messages of this program through you. I don't know what it is, but the magic of the word that we share with each other in here, the love we have, the acceptance, the judgment, I'm sure some of you, you know, but whatever. But you know what? We still love each other. And if we, you know, if any of you would call to help, we would help. And this is the greatest place in the world for true love and community and caring. And the best part about this is how much you have taught us to take this out there and share it with other folks too. That nothing will keep you sober than to work or talk with another alcoholic. So thank you one more time for allowing me to be a part. And everyone kept asking, are you nervous? Are you nervous? Are you nervous? I wasn't until you keep asking me that shit. Anyway, but I don't, because I'm so in love with Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with my sponsor. This woman gives me so much advice, and she loves me no matter what, and all her people love me no matter what. The people, and I am so grateful because they can let me be me and make mistakes and hold me accountable. And that is where we grow with each other, to just be there for each other, but find the answers in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and please do your steps. Quit using AA as a minimalist. Use it as abundance. It's abundance. It has everything for us, but you can't get it unless you do these steps and be of service and to be of love. Thank you very much.